Hello and welcome to the first podcast of this profiling series, introducing you to the members of the International Water Association's Digital Water Program Steering Committee. The IWA Digital Water Program is on a mission to provide a platform for water utilities to explore and share experiences on their digital water journey. The program has provided roadmaps and guidance that will help utilities in making the transition to the next generation of smart water system and fulfill the need for improved resiliency to secure and sustainably manage water resources now and in the future. The steering committee conceptualizes and produces these and other outputs of the program, including white papers, books, webinars, and podcast series like this one. I am Erin Jordan, Strategic Programs Officer at the IWA, coordinating the Digital Water Program. My guest today is Dr. Saba Danishgar, postdoctoral researcher at Biomath, Ghent University. Saba has been a member of the Digital Water Program Steering Committee since 2022, representing the Modeling and Integrated Assessment Specialist Group. Saba, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Erin. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here today.
It's my pleasure as well to be interviewing you. So before we get into the nitty-gritty of today's discussion, can you first of all tell us who is Saba?
Yes. Well, I'm a postdoctoral researcher at Biomath in Ghent University in Belgium. I'm originally from Iran. But it's been more than a decade now that I've been living abroad. I went to Italy when I was 23 and I did my master and PhD there. I lived there in Italy for 8 years in total before coming to Belgium. My bachelor in Iran was in chemical engineering, but then I shifted my focus of study during my master and PhD to more environmental engineering and specifically on water and wastewater treatment processes. I started my PhD in 2015 at the University of Pavia, North Italy. It's a very small city close to Milan with a very medieval style architecture, so it's a very beautiful place. My research was on the phosphorus recovery from wastewater streams through the precipitation process to recover phosphorus in a more valuable form, such as a struvite, for example. I did a lot of experimental studies on the lab and pilot scale for the phosphorus recovery process. While I enjoyed really doing experimental work, I always had a passion and a great interest for mathematical modeling, which was a big part of also my undergraduate and graduate studies. So I had a pretty strong background in that. So I decided to actually do also some modeling during my PhD. And that's why I went to spend 6 months visiting a stay at the Modeloo Research Group at Laval University in Canada, working with Peter Van Rolleghem, one of the most famous and greatest people in the water sector. And there I focused on modeling and optimization of the phosphorus recovery process. So I spent the whole winter also there in Quebec, which coming from Italy was quite a big difference, I should say. I finished my PhD then in 2019. So it was under supervision of Professor Andrea Capodaglio in University of Pavia. And then I immediately started a 1 year postdoc at the University of Verona in Italy. It was another university, but it's still in the north Italy. And it was a different experience. It was in the biotechnology department. And I started working on a big European Horizon project on monitoring and treatment of combined sewer overflows. It was a short stay for only 1 year, but I learned a lot and I worked with an amazing group of people there. And this brings the story to the beginning of 2020, almost 3.5 years ago, when I started my position here at Biomath. This was really a wonderful opportunity for me coming to Biomath. I really completely shifted my focus of the research to mathematical modeling, which was really a passion for me, and specifically with the applications in water and wastewater systems. So it was sort of a dream job for me, I guess. So this was in a nutshell the story of me from the beginning of my study to the point where I am right now.
Thank you so much, Saba. I am actually amazed at all the things that you've been able to get involved in since leaving Iran and how your career has literally transformed to, as you said, your dream position. So tell me, or well, tell us, the listeners, myself and the listeners, we're all interested. Tell us about this postdoctoral research that you're doing at Biomath. What exactly does it entail, and what outputs are you looking to achieve with this research?
Biomath is a research group led by Professor Ingmar Nopens at the Department of Data Analysis and Mathematical Modeling. So we are at the Faculty of Bioscience Engineering, and as actually the name suggests, Biomath is really related to the mathematical modeling and optimization of bioprocesses. A big part of the group, including me, is focusing on the water and wastewater processes, but we have also another research line focusing on mathematical modeling, but for pharmaceutical processes. But generally, I would say that it's the same methodology that we use, but for different applications, let's say. In the past, the group focused really on developing mechanistic models like biokinetic models, computational fluid dynamics, and these sort of first principle models for, modeling and optimization of these type of processes. But since a few years ago, we are also doing a lot of research on the data-driven and machine learning models, which is really trending also right now in the water sector. And also, we are looking into how we can combine these two modeling paradigms, mechanistic models and data-driven models, in a so-called, let's say, a hybrid modeling paradigm, where we can actually take advantage of both of these modeling paradigms. But more specifically related to the digitalization, that I think is the main reason that we are here right now. Biomath is really one of the leading research groups in the transition from conventional models, the traditional way that we use models in water and wastewater systems, to digital twin applications. So by digital twin, we mean a rigid digital replica of the physical system, which can actually simulate the operation of the system in almost real time. So this can be used for process monitoring, optimization, scenario analysis, training of the operators, and generally to a better real-time understanding of your system and what could happen actually in a future horizon, let's say, by predicting the state of your system in a future. We do this at Biomath at different scales. So this can be actually a digital twin of a small unit process, like an activated sludge tank, for example, in the wastewater domain. But it can actually go also in a larger scale to have like a treatment, or the whole treatment line in a treatment plant of a water resource recovery facility, for example. But also now recently, we are investigating moving towards developing more holistic digital twins at larger scales, where you can actually develop a digital twin for your whole industrial cluster or for a city, for example, for a region, where you can actually couple the every aspects of your system in a digital way that they can connect together, and you can have a more holistic, let's say, decision support system. So that's basically in a nutshell what we do in Biomath. So it's mainly using the mathematical models and the digitalization tools in order to better understand the system and also optimize the way that we maintain and operate our systems.
That's interesting. It's very interesting to have, especially your experience in the Digital Water Steering Committee, because, I mean, the Digital Water Program focuses on water utilities, but it's also good to get the feedback and understand digitalization from the context of the researchers, our members in academia, just so that we can understand exactly what the utilities would be able to use in order to better service their customers. So, given all that you've mentioned, your academic background, the way your career has transformed, and you're also, as I mentioned in the beginning, you're also a member of the MIA specialist group. So, combining these things and what you've seen since becoming a member of this specialist group, what exactly does the digitalization of the water sector mean to you? What does that represent? What does it look like? Can you tell us?
Yes, of course. But since you mentioned, I think maybe it's a better idea to also that I start with a short introduction of what MIA actually represents. So MIA is the Modeling and Integrated Assessment Specialist Group in the IWA community. So the objective of this specialist group is actually to promote all aspects related to the modeling, simulation, and application of system analysis for improving the quality of the aquatic environment. So this actually covers all disciplines in the water domain, from drinking water and wastewater to surface water and groundwater, for example. So we have a management committee, which I'm a part of, with a very diverse group from both academia and industry. So the idea is to stimulate the transfer of knowledge between academia and industry, and between also different areas within the water cycle. And we organize modeling specific conferences, for example, the Water Matrix, and also a lot of modeling related webinars throughout the year to actually promote this whole objective and idea of the group. But coming back to your question, I think digital transformation has really a potential to make the water sector truly connected and to create the opportunity for more holistic decision making. I think challenges that we are facing right now because of the climate crisis are inherently multidisciplinary and multi-objective. So we cannot really solve them unless we take a more systemic approach to the water management. And for this, we need really more holistic decision support tools. In the digital transformation era, we have huge amount of data being collected and generated every day in different aspects and different parts of the water system. And we have been developing a lot of models for different parts of the system, for subsystems, for example, sewer networks, treatment plants, even cost models, economic models, life cycle assessments, for example. But the biggest challenge here is that integration of this large and scattered amount of information, data, and models that we have in a very interoperable way is not really trivial, let's say. So there are some mature examples of having a holistic framework where you can connect different parts of your system in the other sectors, like in the energy or in the mobility sectors, but not really specifically for the water sector. So in Biomath, actually, this is one of the ambitions that we have right now for the future of the group and for the future of the water modeling research, let's say. We actually wrote a proposal last year for developing such a holistic methodology, which is called Water Frame, which stands for Water Fit for Reuse Architecture and Modeling Ecosystem. It's been recently funded by the Flanders Research Foundation in Belgium, and I'm sure you will hear more about it in the near future. And I think we need more projects and initiatives like this, not only at the regional scales, but at the European scales. And I think this is really the future of the water sector, in my view, where we can move towards having more holistic and larger scale systems, where we can really understand every aspect of the system and trying to optimize that in a more tangible way, let's say.
So now what you've just explained, how then would you advise, let's say you wanted to give a bit of advice for utility leaders or water professionals in the working on the digitalization of the water sector, what would you tell them from your perspective, given all that you're working on, how you see it from your side? What advice would you give them if it could just be one particular thing, the most important thing you would love to stress for them? What would it be?
Actually, this is a point of discussion for, I think, since a couple of years ago, where we started organizing a lot of workshops in different conferences around the idea of digital twins and how challenging it is to actually bring that into practice. And so this is actually the approach that we need to take towards utility leaders, for example, or the people that actually are using these digital tools at the end, is quite a big issue right now. And I think there is still a mistrust of digitalization in a lot of the utility leaders. And building this trust, I think, is a mutual process. I mean, while we as researchers in the modeling and digitalization field need to really focus on bringing the methodologies and theoretical aspects of our work into practice by developing more use cases and applications, and to be able to show, actually, to demonstrate the potential that we can have by using these tools. I think the utility leaders also need to be open to new ideas, to how digitalization can really impact and improve the way we approach our challenges. And I would say also to they need to be ready to push themselves out of their comfort zone. If we keep doing the things that we are doing right now and we've been doing for the last decades, let's say, we cannot really solve the problems that we are having in this era, because these problems are really different from the ones that we had 50 years ago, let's say. So the objective of modeling and digitalization, let's say, 50 years ago was quite different than what we have right now. So I think we need a really major mind shift in how we tackle these challenges, how we look at these challenges, actually, to be able to come up with the right solution. So I think the biggest challenge is the trust, and the biggest advice could be to be open to new ideas and to the new opportunities that the digitalization can bring on the table.
Thank you, Saba. For me, I am still surprised to hear you mention that utility leaders should be more open, given that the digitalization of the water sector has been discussed and in motion for quite some time now. So it's very eye-opening to hear you say that there still needs to be more discussion around this, where utility leaders can trust. Even though there's so much information out there, I would definitely love to sit down with a utility professional as well and get it from their perspective and see exactly what might be hindering them from this. But thank you for that perspective. So I want to go back a bit. You mentioned that you left Iran at 23 and you spent 8 years in Italy, and then, you know, you moved around, you had a stint in Canada, you're here now in biomath. So as a young water professional, what advice would you give to another young water professional interested in digitalization as well, or interested in modeling? Because you said, you know, you were very interested in mathematical modeling and you took opportunities that helped you to get to where you were. What would you say to them?
I think we are really in a very exciting period of time for the young water professionals. We see more and more involvement of them in various aspects of the water sector. Just if we take a look at the conferences, for example, that we've been organizing in the past 3-4 years compared to, let's say, 10-15 years ago, you see that there are a lot of more activities, more specific conferences actually, or more management roles that are dedicated to young water professionals. So I think even at the larger scale, at the higher level, let's say, where we have experienced members, they start to see actually the value that the young water professionals can bring to the table when we are talking about the solving our challenges in the water domain. And as I said, there's a huge potential for the future of digitalization in the water sector. So we need definitely more young water professionals for this transition, for building that trust that I actually talked about, and for bringing new innovative technologies and methodologies. So digitalization is, at least for the water sector, is still a young area of research. And then it needs young people to move it forward. So a lot of the aspects that we are talking about, like the machine learning, data-driven approaches, these type of researches are quite new to the water sector. A lot of people, a lot of young people, thousands of young people that are working actually passionately in this area of the research. So I think if you're interested as a young water professional to be part of this journey to move the water sector towards a digital future, towards a digital water, I think there's no better time to get on board than today. And I think I would say to all young water professionals that are interested in digitalization or pursuing a career in digitalization, that this is actually the right moment to do that. And there are a lot of initiatives and activities for young water professionals dedicated to them, actually, that they can seek. It's just, I think, it's a matter of being motivated that they can actually play a big role.
Thank you, Saba, for that encouraging word. I hope young water professionals listening are taking everything that you're saying, making notes, and I hope that they are not discouraged, because I know that it can be a bit tough, especially coming from school. In some areas, in some regions, it might be a bit tough transitioning from academia into a full-fledged career, but there is always hope, and I hope that they do take what you're saying into full consideration. So, Saba, now that we've discussed all these serious things, we know how the saying goes, all work and no play makes Jack a dull guy. So my question to you, and this is the final question in our discussion, what is your favorite way to decompress? What is fun for you, Saba?
Cycling, I guess. I think generally physical activities are really the best way to detach from the pressure and the stress of the daily job that we all have probably. And I find cycling is also a lot of fun also, because it gives me like the opportunity to explore new places. So I think for me it's cycling. For somebody else might be running or something, but I think physical activities like inherently really have this potential of really boost our energy and boost our mental health, let's say. So I think that's it for me.
No, I get it. Sometimes the gym is the only thing that keeps me calm after a very difficult day. So I completely agree and I understand. All right, Saba, final 60 seconds. Tell our listeners where they can connect with you and what they can look out for from you this year.
I think LinkedIn is probably the best place to connect. You can easily find me by searching my name. We're also quite active as a group there, as Biomath and also MIA specialist group. So if you want to hear more about the webinars that we are organizing in MIA, for example, or like latest publications, latest projects, and anything related to the status of the digitalization, please follow those LinkedIn groups. We are quite active there. I would also like to invite you to check our upcoming conferences as well. As I mentioned, we are organizing Water Matrix, and the next edition is in September 2023 in Quebec, in Canada. And the next Water Resource Recovery Modeling Seminar is in April 2024 in Indiana, in the US. So these conferences are really the best place if you want to hear about the state of the art and everything that is now currently going on in the digitalization of the water sector. So it's the best place actually to keep updated with the ongoing research. And also Water Resource Recovery Modeling Seminar is quite a good place for utilities and practitioners, because there are a lot of things related to that there. Thanks again, Erin, for having me. It was really a pleasure talking to you.
And thank you, Saba, for joining. I must say that even though I am coordinating the Digital Water Program, this is really a great way to get to know the steering committee members better. And I really hope that we could continue to do this series and get some more in-depth knowledge about the members. Thank you also to all of our listeners. We look forward to bringing you some more installments of this series in the coming months. So please stay tuned. You can connect and engage with the Digital Water Program on IWA Connect Plus and through our quarterly newsletter. Everything that Saba mentioned, the upcoming conferences and his LinkedIn profile, will be in the bio of this podcast. And I will also link the Digital Water Program's Connect Plus page in the bio. So again, thank you, Saba. Thank you very much. And looking forward to bringing another member to your ears very, very soon.